Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Our short little piece of the gospel this morning has its root as the last part of the instruction that Jesus gives to his disciples before he himself sets out together with the disciples for this kind of long period of healing and miracles and all of these things that will happen. But I want to remind you what comes before this wonderful little text. The 12 disciples have been getting all of these instructions from Jesus: go nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no towns of the Samaritans, go to the lost sheep of Israel, and proclaim the good news. You received without payment, give without payment. And then he goes on, if you remember from a couple weeks ago, talking about the receiving of the gospel, that it will cause all kinds of problems. So sometimes he tells the disciples, when you show up at somebody's house and you begin to proclaim the gospel, they will throw you out. They will not receive you. So what should you do? Shake off the dust on your sandals and leave and go to the next place. And then one more instruction he gives them before he finally gets to the good part. He says to them, and by the way, the gospel is going to be so intimidating for people that it will set mother against father and father against son and daughter against daughter-in-law. All of these things will be happening because the gospel is that important. So then after all of this horrible stuff that's going to happen, should you make the decision and sign up to be a disciple of Jesus? Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Now in my English Bible, it titles this the Reward of Ministry. So, after everything you've been through, you get a cup of water. Awesome. Makes you just want to run right out and be a disciple of Jesus, doesn't it? The word that's used in the Greek for, translated here, welcome, is also translated a different way. It's translated, whoever receives me. Whoever receives a little one receives also me and the one who sent me. And I think it's different because we bandy about the word welcome all the time, don't we? The fact is, I think it's even in our mission statement. And we talk about being a welcoming congregation, which I think we very, very much are. But that word welcome has taken on an interesting twist over the many, many decades. Who do we really want to welcome? Not only in our church, but even in our lives. I read once, you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. I even we have some very, very dear friends that we spent years and years. We had our Thanksgivings and our Christmas together because their family of origin was not a particularly welcoming group. So we were their family of choice, right? If you can't have Christmas with your family of origin, you have family of choice because they felt welcomed. So I wonder what welcome looks like if we think about it from the word receive as it appears in the original text of the gospel. In that text, it is not just to be sort of like, gee, come on in, but it is to literally to take them in hand and take responsibility for them. It's pretty different than how we usually think of how we receive or welcome people. So, I mean, just the average, you know, sort of situation, even at our church, we say everyone is welcome. But what do we mean by that welcome? Particularly in light of this gospel, which is life-changing. What do we mean by that welcome? You've heard me say this, and I apologize. Bill will tell me that I repeat myself Sunday after Sunday. But sometimes it takes a lot of repetition, Bill. So often when we use the word welcome, we mean, well, come on in and sit in our chairs and our sanctuary and do our liturgy and do our programs and participate in all of the things that we already love to do. What if instead, hey, we say, instead of come welcome, be a part of us. What if true welcome means asking the stranger for permission to be a part of their lives and to be changed by them? Because that's what happens when you actually welcome people. They change your life. Some ways, sometimes in ways that you do not expect or even want. I mean, the most obvious thing that happened at LCH happened in the 90s with our welcome of people who were gay, lesbian, and transgendered into our congregation in a public way. Now, y'all have been RIC, Reconciling in Christ, for so long that actually only maybe five of you are still here from then, maybe six. I know one. Poor Mary was in charge. It changed everything. People got angry. I mean, every time I think of the text from a couple of weeks ago, father against son, friend against friend, I think about how that happened all through the 90s as our national church struggled with what it meant to be truly welcoming to everyone, welcoming in the way that Jesus welcomed. And I was in the middle of it because I was writing resolutions for our synod, not this synod, my other synod I was at in that time. I got up and stood in front of Synod assemblies and argued with my colleagues. People got so angry. I remember being at a Synod assembly, and I happened to be sitting near the mic, which I never do, because then I might have to get up and talk. But the guy was behind me, not a foot away, and I could literally feel the radiant heat from his body. He was so angry. But to be truly welcoming, to really receive, means to give up a part of yourself for the sake of the other. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to get at in our gospel for today. Look, to be welcoming, to be welcomed folks into the gospel is not only to be changed, but it is to change everything. It changes you and it changes them. And in that, we find what it means to have true freedom. Over the next 2 days, you're going to hear that word over and over again, aren't you? I wish if we had the big screen for Jesus, I would have the picture that they just sent of my grandson. He's on his tricycle, legs pumping like crazy, and the handlebars are kind of out to here. He's got a goofy hat on and a huge, big smile on his face as he's riding down in the 4th of July parade in his neighborhood in Texas in 110 degrees with red, white, and blue ribbons everywhere. And he just looks like, I'm in heaven. He hasn't picked up that Texas accent, but it's going to happen. And we'll see this over and over again about what freedom looks like and how our country is the greatest country in the world. And I keep thinking, all of that is true, but how was it built? It was built by receiving people. This church was started by immigrants. Northern European immigrants. They came here from another place. 123 years ago, they showed up in Hawaii and forgot to leave. They stayed here. And they figured out as best as they could how not only to be received, but also to receive. It's interesting in our politics these days. I understand not everybody's in the same place, and I understand there have to be limitations on immigration. I understand all of that. But from a Christian point of view, from the way that we see things, to simply say we've gotten everything that we need and nobody else can have it, that no one else is welcome because we're already here, flies in the face of the gospel. To not welcome people because of their gender identity or their gender dysphoria or whatever you want to call it, to say that you can't be a part of the family of Jesus because you don't look, act, or be the same color as I am? That's not the gospel. So we think about this message of Jesus. Whoever receives one of these little ones, these people who are in need of love and care, peace and sanctuary, whenever we receive that person, we receive Jesus, and he says the one who sent him. Over the next year or so, we're going to be spending some time as a congregation looking at our mission statement and looking at what it means to be truly welcoming. I think the problem with saying that you welcome everybody is that in the long run, you're not exactly sure what you mean by that anymore. But it's been rolling around in my head as I pondered this text and the text from Jeremiah. I keep thinking about what it looks like to be coming in from the outside and to be truly received. Hands open. There's a custom in other parts of the world that when you greet someone, see in America, because of COVID especially, we all stop touching each other. Right? So, you know, when we meet somebody, good afternoon. And if you're a man, you say, good afternoon. What do you do for a living? Right, because that's all men can think about. But in other places, you begin like this. Two hands, and you greet. And you look at each other in the eye. And you literally receive one another. I think the gospel is a two-handed grasp on the stranger, in which we ourselves feel the warmth and the reception of the other. And the gospel receives us, and we receive the gospel. And we receive the stranger, but even more importantly, we are received. And then abundant living water spills out over the world. And the gospel becomes our world. Whoever gives so much as a cup of water to one of these little ones. Amen. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day. Please rise as you're able. It's number 461 in the ELW.